So, George, I think maybe the most common situation to see relapse is a patient who's actually on endocrine therapy during the 5 years. You know, we've teased out before whether it occurs after 2 years or 4 years. We presented a situation where someone develops metastatic disease 2 years after starting anastrozole. Most of the audience would logically, of course, use fulvestrant, but would combine it with palbociclib. George, in general, what would be your choice in this situation? You actually chose abemaciclib. How come?
I don't feel strongly about abemaciclib versus palbociclib here. I don't think we have convincing evidence that any of the CDK4/6 inhibitors is superior to any of the others currently.
So, Hope, of course, the most common question that our docs had was, how do you choose which one? How come you choose abemaciclib in this situation?
I was rotating. I'm serious. I mean, the data is really good for all three. The hazard ratios line up. The toxicities are a little bit different. You take it continuously. I do like to, you know, try the different agents, and I don't know that it makes a big difference to a patient. If the patient has a lot of GI issues, I wouldn't choose abemaciclib. If they have low counts and just got radiation to their pelvis, I wouldn't choose palbociclib. So I think that those are kind of the decision points that I'm using in individual patients. And, you know, people seem to be doing fine regardless of what I choose. The one person I put on abemaciclib recently was profoundly neutropenic at 1 month.
Wow, interesting. So,
you know, I don't think you can really, you know, finesse it quite well enough.
So, Hal, your center really has been a leader in looking at CDK inhibitors. How do you sort out outside a trial setting which one to use? You kind of follow similar type of thinking that Hope just described?
So, I mean, I would echo what you've heard. I think clinically, their outcomes are all remarkably similar. In our own day-to-day practice, we most frequently give palbociclib. Our nurses know how to manage the neutrophil counts that come in on the lab test. We have standardized algorithms for that. And in my own personal experience having used the drugs, I find that the asymptomatic neutropenia is more easily managed from the patient's experience point of view than diarrhea. But, you know, I think the other things you've heard about tailoring the treatment based on patient preferences are quite reasonable.
George?
Just one comment on that, because I think, you know, this again gets back to when you're in the clinic, you're dealing with a patient in front of you. I've had a number of patients who I've started on palbociclib, and they have had problems with neutropenia. They've never got a neutropenic fever, but they've done this stop, start thing that just drives you nuts after a while.
So somehow those fax reports from the outside lab always come in on Friday afternoons at like 4:30, and the nurse has gone home, or you're on your way out the door, and then you're like, you got to call in the lower dose.
Right.
I'm with you on that.
And so that
I make him get the test on Thursday.
That is the patient I've actually crossed over to abemaciclib.
George, if you're more concerned about a patient, higher volume, visceral disease, again, does that affect your choice?
Not particularly.